Welcome to the Mindset Matters podcast, where we dive deep into the world of mindset, entrepreneurship, and real estate. Your host is RJ DeLeon. Whether you're a seasoned business owner, an aspiring entrepreneur, or looking to level up your mindset, this podcast is your go-to resource for inspiration, knowledge, and actionable strategies. Tune in.
Success isn't the absence of failure. It's the persistence through failure. Aisha Taylor said that, and it resonated with our next guest, Chad Zdenek. So who is Chad Zdenek? Well, he was a general contractor, a structural engineer turned entrepreneur. And I think we could actually say he's a rocket scientist, maybe, because one of his first gigs was being a structural dynamics engineer working on space shuttle main engines. Now, today, he is a full-time real estate investor and multifamily syndicator. I had the pleasure of meeting him at the Real Estate Radio Guys networking conferences, and you would never tell that he's had such a long line of success, because the thing that I love about real estate conferences is everybody's so nice. Everybody wants to share knowledge. And that's one of the things that we always say on the show, network, network, network. Don't be afraid to go out to these networking events. Whether or not you're an introvert or whether or not you're an extrovert or an introvert, there's a lot of value to be had. So I'm excited to bring them on here. But as always, guys, you're listening to Mindset Matters with your host, RJ DeLeon. My company's EJC Partners and NVR Capital sponsored the podcast because we know in life you make mistakes. Disappointment, it's inevitable. So it's really my mission to share the stories of our guests so that we can understand the mindsets that they've created to become successful. Think of it as an audio mastermind to help you navigate challenges of all kinds. With that being said, Chad, what's going on, man? How are you?
Going good. Thanks, RJ. Thanks for having me on. Super excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too. The one thing that I didn't say is you're probably most known for Inside Mighty Machines, your TV personality. It's so crazy. So super excited to have you on here. Why don't you give the guests a quick rundown of your story?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I've had quite a few pivots and changes, and I guess some mindset shifts that do occur along that journey. So happy to be on your show and talk about it because I think it makes a big difference. And I'll start off by saying that in my opinion, mindset is it's a continual evolution. I know for myself, like I'm always continually like working on it. It's not like a destination, more so it's like a journey. And so, yeah, even today, you know, I'm always working on my mindset, and especially in real estate, as I try to do bigger deals and more partnerships, mindset's really important. So happy to share some of that with you. So, yeah, you're right. I did start out as a rocket scientist. I worked for Rocketdyne for 7 years as a structural dynamics engineer. Working with NASA and different spaceflight centers around the U.S., worked with some incredibly brilliant engineers and scientists, and it was great. But it was the corporate world wasn't really for me. I've always been an entrepreneur at heart, and always wanted to do that. So I wound up pivoting and going to work with my brother on a startup that he did, which was primarily at the time a Christmas lighting business. We eventually pivoted to landscape lighting, wedding lighting, event lighting, and whatnot. But we built that business up from basically him and I and a couple workers to about 75 people in three different warehouse locations here in LA, the biggest company in LA doing it. So we had quite a run, and then he took over the business, and I had like a year and a half exit, or a transition rather, and that was like 17 years we were working together on that. And then And then I'd been investing in real estate and went into real estate full time in 2018, 2019, and never looked back. So my first syndication I did like before really knowing a whole lot about syndication. I wasn't in any mastermind groups. I didn't have any mentors. Basically ran out of my money and started working with other people. And I still invested in my deals, but I was a solo GP. Like I had no partners. Like I ran the whole thing from A to Z and doing local deals here in Long Beach. So it was definitely a learning experience. Proud to say that I still have all those properties. I'm still the GP and they cash flow and we've been doing really well. A few challenges with COVID, but we've been getting through it and maintaining our cash distributions to investors. So it's gone really well. But then now I'm pivoting more towards out-of-state deals, bigger deals, partnerships. So it's just like it's a continual evolution. And another quote is like the only constant is change, right? So you've got to be willing to adapt to change and really try to embrace it. Don't try to fight it a whole lot, embrace it and kind of see the positives in it. And that'll put you in a much better mindset, state of mind.
That thank you for sharing your story. You hit on so many different things there. There's a lot to unpack. So some of the things that I really liked hearing you say was change is inevitable. That's the last thing you changed. You're continually learning. And, that's a constant theme with our guests, because if you had originally just thought, had a fixed mindset, this is what I know, I'm going to stay a rocket scientist, a structural engineer, and that's it, and we're very closed-minded, you would never had or taken the opportunities that you have today. And your journey has changed significantly for that. So if we could go all the way back to you being a structural engineer, a rocket scientist per se, and then having the opportunity, so stepping away from a W-2 job where I imagine you were earning very, good amount of money, and then stepping into the entrepreneurial role, like what were your thoughts? How scary was that for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. So when I was working at Rocketdyne, it was actually bought out by Boeing. So most of that career was technically for Boeing, but the Rocketdyne division. But Boeing's a Fortune 100 company, right? I mean, a huge company, great company, and they do amazing things. And I was on a leadership track for them. I was making really good money, but I was an entrepreneur at heart. So it's an interesting story with my brother. So you'll get a kick out of this. So my brother, I was working full time and getting my MBA at UCLA at the time. And as I was focusing on entrepreneurial studies, so the company my brother started was like my incubator project at UCLA.
Nice.
And it was growing, it was doing well. And I told Jason, I said, look, I said, you get it to a certain size, which was a small size because I wanted to go. I said, you get it to a small size, but it was fast growth. I said, I'll leave Boeing and we'll do this together. Right. And so he got to that size, I think 2 years in, and so I said, he said, like, Chad, I need your help. It's growing, we're on track, blah, blah, blah. And I said, all right. I said, let's do it. It's my brother, great relationship, want to help him out. But here's the kicker. So I actually had to take a 50% pay cut to go work with him in this business. That was the guarantee, like he said, Chad, I'll guarantee you this much, which happened to be 50% of what I was making.
Yeah.
But that 50% was more than he was paying himself. So wow. He also made nice. A really big sacrifice and investment, if you will, and said, I really want to work with you. I need your help. And I'm going to pay you more than I'm paying myself, which is still half of what you were making. So yeah. We weren't making much money. And but we did it together. And yeah, it was pretty tight back then. I didn't have any kids, so that was, you know, a lot easier to take those sort of risks and whatnot back, you know, without kids. Now I've got five.
Oh, wow.
So we did it, and I left Boeing. A lot of people, you know, my engineers kind of made fun of me for, you know, why would you leave working with NASA and the space shuttle main engines to go, you know, hang Christmas lights. But I wanted to do the entrepreneurial route. And then lo and behold, I mean, in hindsight, it worked out really well. You know, we grew the business to be quite a good sized company. Had a lot of successful clients, big projects, and the rest is history, as they say.
Yeah, that must have taken a lot of courage to be able to do that, right? I mean, I was made fun of a risky
lot. Yeah, I was made fun of a lot. You know, you gotta have like a high level of conviction, right? Like,
yeah,
in order to, and this just goes back to the idea of mindset. I had to like really be sure of investing in myself and my capabilities, knowing that I wasn't necessarily chasing money in the moment, you know, taking a huge pay cut. Also like from, I don't know, like a peer pressure society standpoint, like everyone questioning, like, what are you thinking, Chad? Like,
yeah,
you were doing so well. I was on a leadership track. Boeing paid for two master's degrees, structural engineering and MBA from USC, UCLA at the time. Like I was on a really good path, but it was very corporate and I'm very entrepreneurial. And I said, hey, now's the time to try it. If I want to try it, right. You know, fast forward 20 years to, you know, starting CSQ Properties and, you know, starting a new business in my 40s with five kids, that's a totally different animal. And we can talk about that later. But when you're in your 20s, I mean, you can take these sort of risks, right? Yeah. And that's what I did. And in hindsight, it really worked out well. I was glad I did it, but it was definitely rough in the beginning.
Well, the one thing that we could take away from that story is you were true to yourself. And you had a lot of conviction and belief in your capabilities. So yeah. One of the things that we always say is get rid of those negative talks externally or internally. So Chad was dealing with a lot of pressure from his peers saying, you can't do that. Why are you doing that? Oh, they were probably saying you're so dumb for doing that, right? Yeah. Like you're walking away from all of this.
Yeah.
But you have that conviction for yourself and you knew that's what you want to do. And, you know, I bet that path made you a lot happier, even though there's a lot of bumps and bruises, you stayed true to yourself. You believed in yourself. Now look at you, you sold out. your brother bought you out of your side of that company. You started CSQ Properties Investing. And one of the best things that I heard you say on a previous podcast is your bout as a TV personality was your side gig. That was your side hustle, because that was another career that you could have pursued full-fledged and gone down, and I'm sure was great money. So if you guys got to look at Inside Mighty Machines, It was on the Smithsonian Channel and the National Geographic Channel. So
yeah.
I was always like, Chad's way too pretty to not have been on TV. And that was a constant theme at the Real Say Radio, guys. You know, the prettiest man in the room's here. It's like, yeah, also the nicest guy in the room, which a lot of people could have these external thoughts of, you know, I can't talk to that guy because that guy doesn't want to talk to me.
Yeah.
So can we talk a bit about your journey into the networking space? Because I know you've joined a lot of the inner circles and you're part of a lot of different masterminds. So if we could talk about how that's elevated you and allowed you to find partners like Bescal and the new projects you got going on.
Yeah, look, I think networking is really key. And I think I started, like, I didn't really fully appreciate the importance of it until more recently. you know, I have three master's degrees. You know, I put my head down. I stay focused. I always try to improve myself and always learn. And at the end of the day, it's still, it would only be me, right? And there's so much more that you can do with other people. And that's one of the things I really love about real estate. And just to kind of tie it back to real estate, it's very different than Hollywood. Like Hollywood, I have an agent, I've been on a bunch of different shows, and it's not, I mean, I hate to say it, but it's not a very good industry. Like there's a lot of backstabbing. It's really hard to find people you can trust. People don't really want to help you out. Unless they're like kissing your butt because you're someone big, right? Like it, I don't know. It's totally different than real estate. Like real estate, like you go to the conferences we go to and like people want to help you. They're like, hey, how can I help you? They're not looking for anything for themselves. They're like, hey, I want to help you out. Anything you can, I can do, let me know. And it's so nice to be in that type of atmosphere. It's a lot better than Hollywood. And I mean, I was doing Hollywood before real estate. So I didn't have the comparison back then, but now that I have the comparison, I can see how much better real estate is. And I love what I do. I love what I do. So even if I was doing, let's say like TV hosting full time, I think I would miss a lot of real estate. I'd miss a lot of the entrepreneurial type stuff that you can do within real estate. I'd really miss a lot of it. So I love what I do. And networking, I think, is a big part of it. And it's just it's a really good group of people to be around. I'll tell you, going back to mindset a little bit, I kind of, you know, I've invested in other things, other businesses, other ventures. And more often than not, they don't do well. And so what I kind of learned is I wanted to invest in myself, because I found out whenever I invested in myself, I had control over it, I would be successful. Whenever I invested in other things, I'm not talking about real estate per se, but like, let's say other business ventures or stock market, things like that, like things I couldn't control, I never did as well. So I've really pulled back on those other types of investments. I really focus more on myself. Real estate is perfect for this. Even as an LP, like you're investing in a hard asset, like something that's there, something that you know is tried and true. And then as a GP, like I can control that asset. And my LPs, they trust me to do the best I can for that asset. But at the end of the day, I'm reinvesting in myself. And I find that I have a lot more control over something like that. And the returns are a lot better than, you know, playing the casinos, if you will, and some of these other investments. I stopped that. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah. Well, that's a terrific message, Chad. And if I could boil down to the core of that, that's, you know, mainly saying that you trust yourself and you invest in yourself. So for people that are listening, what Chad means by GP and LP is a general partner is somebody who controls the asset, is in the day-to-day, and is responsible for the value add or the repair and maintenance of that actual asset for real estate. As an LP, you're a limited partner, and you're only really responsible for the financial aspect of that asset. So you contribute capital in exchange for a promise of return of capital, for some type of return. So this is absolutely a team sport. When Chad was saying earlier that he ran out of his own money, that's why syndications come about, because together as a team, we could move further faster, or we could move further at least. So I want to, you know, applaud Chad here for believing in himself and understanding where he's strong at and understanding his risk tolerance and where he wants to go. Real estate was it. He didn't want to be in a very toxic environment when it came to TV and Hollywood. But for everybody listening, real estate is so amazing because just like Chad said, everybody wants to help you out. you know, and it also goes to finding your group, finding your core group, finding your tribe, finding whatever your community, whatever you want to call it. Because even within real estate, even though people want to help you out, there's still going to be people you may not get along with or that don't speak your language. So go out there. We encourage you to go out there and network, continue to network, and find the people that can lift you up. So since we're on the topic of GPLPs, syndications, can you tell the audience about the opportunities that you have now? You're working with Bescal, who I had the pleasure to meet over in, actually, maybe we shouldn't, because maybe that's the marketing aspect, because there's a 506B, 506C thing, guys. We got to run down this whole pipeline. But that's just to say that Chad and I have opportunities that we can help you build passive income. So maybe start there, Chad. Let's talk about limited partnerships, being a limited partner, and what that passive income could mean to the audience.
Yeah, look, I love the idea of a limited partner. Most of my deals I'm a GP on. I am an LP on several. And it's awesome. Like, if you can find a team that you trust and you just, you know, you invest your money, you've got some ownership or membership technically of that LLC that owns the property, like you own the property. And then you get a, you know, monthly or quarterly distribution, passive income. Like, to me, that is really where it's at. But in order to make enough money, you got to have a lot of capital to do that. So what I tell people that are just kind of starting out or learning, like, an LP is a great way to learn the industry, learn how it works without taking an undue amount of risk. Because if you're going to do it yourself, there's a lot to learn. I mean, like, you and I, we've been in the game, you know, a long time, and we're still learning, right? Every day we're learning. And it's not that you can avoid mistakes or issues. There's definitely going to be issues. The question is how are you going to deal with it? And that, again, comes back to mindset. You got to have the mindset that, yeah, problems happen everywhere. It's not unique to me. What could be unique is my response to that problem and issue and how I'm going to deal with it. And that comes from your mindset. And so you got to be careful not to get too negative on when the issues arise. And as an LP, there are going to be issues. You want to be invested in a team that's going to communicate those issues to you so you know. You're not really going to be able to do a lot about it as an LP. That's the whole idea of the LP. You're shielded from those decisions, but you're also shielded from some liability, which is good. But you got to trust your team and just know that with the communication that they have, hopefully they'll let you know everything that's going on if it's a good GP team, and you'll stay up to date. And at the end of the day, you're invested in real estate, which over time does really, really well. So I think it's a great spot to be as an LP. I hope to do more LP investments, and it's a good spot.
Yep. Yeah. So as an LP guys, like Chad was saying, you really have no involvement in the day-to-day, which makes it so attractive. Because while a lot of us are out there with our W-2 jobs, we're stockpiling cash. But if that cash sits in traditional investments, say the stock market, or you just have it sitting in cash, which gets killed by inflation, it's not an asset-backed investment, which makes real estate so strong, because you always have that asset where real estate, it's unique assets. Like, there's not the same two pieces of real estate. There can never be two pieces of real estate in the same location. And we're talking about appreciation, equity, shielding your investments as well. So rely on your team. Rely on the team, the GP team. As long as you have somebody trusted that's open with the communications, it's a great way to build wealth while you're out there doing whatever else you need to do. So Chad, you did talk about the obstacles. You know, there's a lot of difficult times. There's a lot of stuff that happens. And with the right mindset, you could get past it. So can you tell us, what's the hardest situation you've been in? What was your mindset and how did you crawl out of that?
Let's see, the hardest situation. I mean, look, like leaving Boeing was a really tough decision. You know, leaving the lighting company was a really tough decision. Those were hard decisions. I had in both those situations, I had a bet on myself, which I've gotten more comfortable in, partly as I've kind of had some failed investments in other things that really helped bolster, I guess, my confidence in myself to do that. I guess most recently I'll share a real estate story where we had a big investor back out the week of close, and we had to try to scramble to fill it, and that's a really bad spot to be in. And the GP team, you know, they thought, okay, there's nothing we can do. We can't get the money. The hard money in 2 days is too tough, blah, blah, blah. And I kind of rallied the troops. I'm like, well, we got to at least try more, right? Like, I don't know. I didn't want to give up. And so we kind of circled the wagons and tried to figure out how we could scramble. We needed like another 2.1, 2.5 million, somewhere around there. So it was, wow, a good chunk of change to get in a couple of days. And mind you, this was a more recent deal. So, you know, anyone who's raising money right, wow, now knows it's a little bit challenging as we're filming this here in November 2022. It's a tough time right now. And so we circled the wagons. We figured, hey, let's try to give it our best shot again, try to shake the tree a bit more, go back to the current investors, try to get some more money, all these different ideas and strategies. And we were able to raise like another 1.1 million in 24 hours. But we didn't make it to the 2.1. Wow. And we had to let that deal go, which was really, really hard to do. Definitely, you know, I mean, it was a failure. We didn't close the deal. We didn't lose any LP money. So everyone got their money back, but they lost time, and we learned a lot of important lessons along the way. And if you're in this business long enough, you're going to run into some situations like that. I know, I'm sure you've hit some of those, you know, running a successful construction company. You know, people, yeah, can probably look at you and say, oh my gosh, RJ is doing all these deals and he's got construction teams working for him on multiple projects. But like, you peel back that onion, you peel back the curtain a little bit. And I know, yeah, I know, oh, yeah, you've had some major issues, right? And you just, yep, you try to learn from them. And I think it's important not to get too hard, not too down on yourself or be too hard on yourself, because everyone runs into these issues. And for me, like, I'm part of this group called the Entrepreneurs Organization. And like, that's my confidant group that I can talk to. It's all like $1 million and above revenue businesses or business owners. And so I can talk to those people. When you do, and you kind of, whatever your mastermind group might be, you realize that you're not alone. You know what I mean? And the mistake doesn't define you. What defines you is how fast you can get back up. And as they say, fall forward and learn from it. That's what's ultimately going to define you. And so I try to stay focused on those things as I go through challenges and failures.
Yeah.
And realize that it's part of the game. It's part of the business. And you got to fall forward.
Yeah. So the one thing that Chad's saying, guys, is you got to try. I mean, nobody could fault you if you try 100% and you fall short, right? Now Chad goes to sleep knowing that I tried my best. I did everything I could, rather than the what ifs. What if I had actually tried? Could we have closed that deal? And I love that you were the one, you know, rallying the troops. Like, yeah, hey guys, because the mindsets, like we were saying earlier, it's a journey, it's not destination. So just because you see somebody that's successful doesn't mean that they have low periods, lulls. And like Chad was saying, yeah, I run a construction company and super successful, but I just had a post where, you know, I was talking about how many nights I couldn't fall asleep and how much anxiety there was and how many difficult times there's been. And those are the things that people don't see. So the one thing that Chad did say at the end was having a support system, having his group, knowing that you're not alone, which is a perfect segue, because I was going to say behind every successful person is a network of support. So who's been your largest cheerleader? Who do you go to now that you have this group? But I imagine you didn't always have that group. Tell the audience about the importance of having a support system.
Yeah, I think it's critical. You can do it by yourself for a while, but you'll either get burnout or you get fatigue. Maybe finally it'll beat you down and you just, you'll get down on yourself. We all have up and down days. So that those times, I think, is where the support system is really important. For me right now, like I mentioned earlier, I've got five kids, and CSQ is still more or less a startup phase. I mean, you know, I don't have as much systems or people in place as I'd like right now. So I'm working a ton. It's basically like startup hours. You know, I'm probably working 60, 70 hours a week. And doing that with five kids is really, really, really tough. A lot of sacrifices. So right now, I think probably my wife is probably a huge supporter, or, you know, part of that support system, and trying to help keep things on track in terms of the family, which is really important to me. But I will tie it back to real estate. And I know every dollar that I make today and reinvest today into real estate is going to pay dividends in perpetuity. So like for me, I know, okay, I'm sacrificing a lot of time with my kids. My youngest is only a year old. She just had her 1 year birthday on Friday. I feel terrible. Like I couldn't go out to, you know, my wife took her to an indoor play gym for her birthday, and I had to work. It's really, really, really hard to make those sacrifices. But I think it's, for me, it's trying to look a little bit further down the road and say, okay, I'm working now so that I can have that passive income later. And it does take sacrifice. And for me, my wife is a huge supporter, keeping the family going for me right now, while I'm missing some important things. And she's helping to keep it going.
So that again is finding your tolerance to risk, finding your tolerance to being an entrepreneur, because it is long hours, it's sleepless nights, it's missing important events. But as long as you're working towards your why, which I think a lot of us could say, it's our families. You know, we work so hard to be able to support our families, but also have that time freedom in the future. You know, I applaud you for that. And that's terrific. Hello to the wife, and happy birthday to the daughter. My son just turned 1 year old on November 1st. So just 2 weeks.
Oh, cool.
2 weeks or so older.
Yeah.
It's our first. And that's also why the wife and I are grinding so hard now, because we want to take those learning lessons. We want to make those sacrifices now, so that we, you know, we could provide a better future to our children, and better than how we grew up and how we were raised. And I think that's a lot to do with what everybody wants. They want something better for their children than what they had. So that's terrific. Chad, do you have anything to say to the audience? What would you tell the audience if you were telling your younger self something?
Well, a couple thoughts. One is, you hear a lot about it, but I just want to reiterate, is like working within your passion, like whatever you're passionate about. Like anyone, a lot of us make this W-2 to the entrepreneur type transition. And one of my favorite quotes there is, why would I want to work 40 hours for someone else when I can work 80 for myself? Like, you're going to work a lot of hours, right?
Yeah.
You just can't get around it. So you really want to make sure that you're doing something you're passionate about. One, it makes the hours a lot more manageable. But two, like when you hit these hiccups, and you will hit the hiccups, you will fail, you will fall down. When you hit all that stuff, if you're doing something you love, it's a lot easier to get back up. So I think that's really critical, is to really try to find that passion, or as you mentioned, find your why. Yeah. It took me quite some time to do it. I had to enlist some help. I hired someone to help me get there, which, going back to your original question, what advice would you give somebody? For me, finding like mentors or mastermind groups and networking, like those two or three things, I think are critical that can really help you compress your timeframes. If you're doing mastermind groups, or, and especially a lot of like higher end mentors, you're gonna have to pay for it. And, you know, look at it. I would encourage you to look at it as an investment, not an expense, because it can really help you get from A to Z a lot faster, and maybe avoid some of those pitfalls. And I wish I would have done that a little sooner, because I learned a lot of things the hard way.
Yeah, that's at cost versus value, which, you know, I'm still struggling with myself. You got to forgo the cost and look at it as an investment in yourself, finding the value. And a lot of people out there may not be in the financial positions that we are. So network.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of this networking is free. Although Chad and I met each other at paid events, you have local RIAs. There's local meetups. There's so many different ways to reach out to people in the space.
Yeah.
Real estate or not.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah. That's a huge proponent. Go ahead.
Yeah. I totally agree. I guess I wanted to leave a comment or make a comment for your more experienced listeners, right? I got my first mentor when I was like 22 years in, right? So I think it's important not to realize, you know, I'm sure there's some experienced people listening to your show, like it's not too late. And I'll share another, that's my story. You know, 22 years, I got my first mentor. I finally figured out I need some help.
Pulled the trigger.
Another thing, you know, a lot of people know Brad Sumrock, right? Sumrock, the apartment king, the guy's crushing it. And probably, I want to say 2 years ago, he hired Grant Cardone to help him get through some mindset issues that he had. So you look at the guy like Brad Sumrock, who's done amazing things, been investing in apartment building for 20 years. He's got like 15,000 units. And 2 years ago, he decides to hire Grant Cardone to help him with his mindset. So I think it's important, even for the veterans listening, it's never too late to try to get some support from somebody. Like I mentioned before, my entrepreneurs organization group, these are all successful business owners that are kind of helping each other out, because even as CEOs of big companies, like everyone needs help. They might not admit it to you, depending on how well you know somebody, but I can assure you, everybody needs help. So don't be afraid to ask for it.
That's huge. And I appreciate you sharing that story, because I actually didn't know that about Brad Sumrock and Grant Cardone, which is huge. And part of the podcast is, hey, listen, we're all successful, but we're also all humans. And that mindset thing, being a journey, consistent ups and downs, and you get in these points where you really need to seek the support of your network, because you can't go, I mean, you can go it alone. A lot of people have, but eventually they build great teams around them and they have the support of their teams. So at one point, one of the things that I was going to mention is when you're following your passion, you still have to be thinking of how that passion's going to make revenue, right? Because you can't just follow something till you're dead. I mean, money is, it's something that none of us can escape. So please find something you're passionate in, because that will help you get up from the mistakes you're making, but also make sure that you're having a plan and doing your due diligence of how is that passion going to help you monetize in the future. And then also, these hugely successful people, they have mentors too. They get support systems as well. And then the one thing that I really loved you say was, it's never too late. Yeah. You know, you got 50-year-old saying, oh, I'm too old now. You got 25-year-old saying, I'm too old now. And then you got all the excuses. I don't have money. I'm too old. They won't like me. But really, can you actually rationalize that? Because if you're 50, you know, you still have 30 years of life, 30, 40 years of life ahead of you. And like, think about how much you've lived in those 50 years. That's a lifetime already. I have no money. Well, you can stop eating out every day. You don't have to get Starbucks. You could start saving. And I don't have the knowledge. Start educating yourself. Start reading books. Become part of Chad CSQ mailer. You know, I am part of these mailers, because then I could read and stay up to date with new industry trends. Maybe I haven't heard of it, but maybe Chad's doing Airbnbs in certain parts of the world that are, you know, making hand over fist money. And I just didn't even know, because I was closed-minded to all this stuff. So yeah. Before we go into the fire round, I do want to give props to Chad, and I do want to give a shout out to CSQ Properties. You guys educate, become part of our network. I have NBR Capital. Chad has CSQ Properties. If you want to learn, it starts through education. It starts through networking. So become part of our mailers. Understand how we're setting structures for our individual investments. You know, you could put $25,000 into a deal, and that could make you $2,500 a year, you know, with a payout on the back end of 5 times your money or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those are all things like people are like, I didn't even know those things existed.
Yeah.
I thought it was only 401k stock.
Yeah. And the key is education, right? And a lot of education is totally free. It's an investment in your time, but some of the best investments you can make is in your own education. So you're right. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people putting out good content. Obviously you're one of them, and there's a lot of things that you can learn just from reading and listening and kind of digesting what's out there, and investing in yourself for education.
Invest in yourself. That is key. Invest in yourself, find different platforms to help you along the way. I mean, a book could be as powerful as a mastermind, and a book can't be more than $30 sometimes. And that's on the high end. You know, I just bought a new book. It cost me $14, and I'm probably 30 pages in, and it's already provided me exponential value.
Yeah.
So thanks. Chad, do you want to say anything to the audience before we jump into the fun round here?
No, I mean, I think we've covered a lot. This has been a good show.
Yeah, it's definitely been a lot. And I love hearing the stories, because, you know, we're all human beings. And that's the biggest point. We all go through ups and downs, but the mindset typically stays consistent. We're a proponent of ourselves. We invest in ourselves and our future. We educate, we network. And we don't get down on ourselves too much. There's that negative self-talk. You guys got to get out of that. If you're pursuing a passion, if you want to get into an industry, just be diligent, persevere, and that's going to be your power. That's your superpower. So Jump into the fire round here, Chad. Let's see. I always start with this question. Is there a weird food, something that you loved as a child that you used to eat all the time? And would you still eat it today?
A weird food. I'm pretty straightforward guy. I love burritos. I grew up eating a lot of burritos. I still eat a lot of burritos. But yeah, nice. nothing too weird. Okay. I think I'm a straight shooter.
So then we'll stick to your favorite food, which is burritos. And yes, you would absolutely still eat it today. How would your best friend or your brothers, since you're so close to your brothers, how would they describe you as a teenager?
They'd probably say high energy, got into trouble a bit, definitely pushed the limits, drove my parents crazy. Yeah, I think probably along those lines. Well, pushing limits, like just pushing limits.
Probably, so you probably did get in trouble quite a bit with the teachers, timeouts, detentions, maybe.
Yeah.
That's great. All right. So what's your favorite thing to do in your off time?
I love getting in the outdoors, mountain biking, sometimes hiking. I mean, I love hiking, but I like a bigger workout. So mountain biking. And actually, this is one thing we never really talked about is like, what do you do to kind of stay sane? Like for me, I love working out. That helps me kind of let go, relax, kind of get back into a better, more positive mindset for sure. So whenever I can get out into the mountains and do that is my happy place. Trail running too. I like trail running. I've done 5 Ironman races. I've done a bunch of ultra marathon 50-mile runs. So I'm an endurance athlete guy. And it helps clear my head. I got a lot of ish going on in my head. I got to clear out.
We all do, but that's insane. Your Iron Man. Holy crap. How, dude, are you going to be able to stand up after sitting for so long? That's what I think sometimes, like you get so stiff, but you know, health is wealth. And the more you use your body, just like the more you use your brain, the stronger and healthier you'll be. Health is wealth. And it's one of those aspects, guys, you got to take care of your mind, body, and spirit. Your body being health is wealth, your mind being the education, and spirit just, what do you believe in? Even if you don't believe in the God, just, you know, being true to yourself. So awesome. Thank you for that. So this, I want to see if it plays on Inside Mighty Machines, because this question is about the most beautiful place you've ever visited. And does that place have like a place in your heart? You'll never forget it. Always want to go back.
You know, for me, I kind of think Yosemite. That's one of the first ones that comes to mind for me. If anyone's ever entered Yosemite from the west, the Fresno side, there's a spot where you're, you know, going through the mountains, and it's pretty, you know, just kind of pretty mountain area, a lot of trees. And then you go through a really long tunnel. And then when you come out of the tunnel, you have the entire Yosemite Valley in front of you, and you can see Yosemite Falls. You can see Bridal Veil Falls, and you can see Half Dome in the distance, El Capitan, like literally all these big name things that are like kind of iconic John Muir, you know, picturesque type places. And you see them all at once, and it's overwhelming. I mean, it's like, oh my God, it's so beautiful. I mean, that's probably definitely towards the top of the list.
Nice. I'm happy that you actually chose something in the United States, because typically people choose things outside the country, Victoria Falls, Thailand, you know, but I really want to make it to Yellowstone, and we actually had a trip planned this year and we had to cancel, but you know, it's never too late. guys, like we're saying, it's never too late. We're going to make it someday. And so, thank you for that tip.
I know you're thinking about doing a long road trip. Yep. If you want to see Half Dome and everything I explained, it's Yosemite, not Yellowstone. Yellowstone's Wyoming. Yep. So Yosemite in California. Yellowstone's amazing as well. Gorgeous. The hot springs up there, sulfur springs, like out of this world type views. But it's not like Yosemite is all really tight. Yellowstone's huge and very spread out. But you get that really pop at Yellowstone when you Yosemite when you come out of that tunnel is breathtaking.
That was absolutely my fault because I was thinking about that new show. Well, it's not new, but the new season came out with Kevin Costner, which is pretty amazing. I think it's actually called Yellowstone or something like that.
Yep.
So my bad, Yosemite. We do have to make it to Yosemite. Come in from the Fresno side. Very happy that you did say it's in the United States and we'll likely be RVing out there. So
cool.
That's huge news for everybody. We're going to take this show on the road. We're going to be in an RV the next 2 years or so. We're going to make it work. It's going to be super difficult, but hopefully we take you on the journey. And so look out for a new YouTube from us. Let's see here. Another one, we like to give the audience just a book, an impactful book. This is a very plain Jane vanilla question everybody always asks, but what book is top of mind for you that has helped you?
Yeah, I mean, I would kind of circle back to what we've been talking about and start with why. That book is amazing. I mean, that's what I kind of dove into when I knew I was gonna be leaving the lighting company. I really wanted to take a step back to figure out what I wanted to do and how I wanted to kind of shape the next chapter for me. And Start With Why was a great book that kind of gets you back to your core and explains the importance of why you need to get there. And you can, if you get there, you can find an unbelievable amount of intrinsic motivation and energy that just propels you forward and forward and forward. Like it's just like nonstop because it's the core of who you are. It's kind of tough to, at least it was hard for me to kind of find and tap into. You might know people that have done it, but the people that get there, man, they can do some amazing things.
That's great. Start With Why, guys. Find the intrinsic values for yourself, and that could propel you well into the future. So really love that. And that actually brings us to our last question for us to wrap up to. What does the future look like for you? What does real estate look like in the future? And what do you need help in on maybe? And what's the future for you?
Cool. Yeah, for me, I'm looking to diversify into more partnerships and more like asset classes within real estate. I've been an LP in self-storage, and I want to do that like on the active side and bring self-storage deals to my investors. So really kind of exploring that. I'm doing some short-term rentals investing now as well. And so exploring different asset classes is probably, you know, that's the direction I'm heading. That's my future. I want to stay in real estate despite some of these headwinds that we're hitting right now. Like I know in 20 years, I'm not even going to remember these headwinds, you know, it's like, you're not even going to remember it. So, you know, real estate is an amazing investment. You know, the government wants you, they encourage you through the tax code to get into real estate. So it's great. I plan on doing that. In terms of like what I need help with, I think it's like connections and networking. You know, I want to continue to meet people. I know that I'll be partnering with other people in the future. So just looking to really continue on that path. And with partnerships, you can do some amazing things.
I agree. With partnerships, you could do some amazing things. That has to be a quote that we put somewhere at some point. But thank you for that. For everybody that's wondering how to get in touch with Chad, we will put ways to contact him in the show notes. And also just look up CSQ Properties. You know, he's active. He's out there. CSQ Properties, look up his company. I believe in everything that he's doing. Chad's a great guy. So when you're talking about GPs that you can trust, I could say firsthand, even just based on the relationship and some of the success that he's had till now, I would trust Chad as a GP. So
thank you, brother. That means a lot from you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. And different asset classes, which the wife and I, if we're being on the road and RVing, we may be looking to scoop up some RV parks. We're starting to explore that. So,
yeah.
And it's crazy. You know, it's one of those things where the industry always has these huge shifts where previously multifamily was traditionally mom and pop, but now you see these institutional companies coming down and scooping up things as little as 30 units. And so then people migrated over to self-storage. There's what is it? Car washes, just ending these asset-backed, cash-flowing, recession-resilient assets. And that's really what you guys got to educate yourself on. So I do implore you to look out for Chad, CSQ Properties, take a look at what we're doing, NVR Capital, and we're going to wrap it up there, guys, and just say, you know, this podcast, it's not outside sponsored currently. Currently, the dollars are coming from our own businesses because we want to share with you all the knowledge that we've found is consistent among entrepreneurs, especially in real estate. So if you like the show, if you liked what Chad said, if you like what we were saying on the show, give us a like, 5 stars, subscribe, follow the podcast, share it with a friend. Those are all huge things that are free that you could do to support us. And then also going to our websites and understanding and learning who we are and what we do and reaching out to us. Let us know if we could help you with anything. So with that being said, we're going to get out of here. Thanks, Chad, for being a guest. It was a pleasure having you on. Always great to see you. The prettiest man in the room.
Yeah. Oh, too much, too much.
We'll say bye to you guys. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, RJ.
No problem.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for joining us on another episode of Mindset Matters. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to hit that subscribe button to stay updated. We'd also appreciate it if you'd leave us a review. Your feedback helps us improve the show. Thank you for being a part of the community, and remember to keep that positive mindset. Until next time.